You're not going to say your speech again, are you?
No.
Okay.
I don't want to hear it. So just for a, before I begin with my statement, for a point of clarification, I'm not Ethan Dodge, okay. But he is the person who signed our appeal, which is why his name appears on it. My name is Ryan McKnight. I'm the executive director of the Truth and Transparency Foundation. Ethan Dodge is the technical director. He's essentially my partner in crime. And he did the legwork on the paperwork involved in this, which is why his name appears. But he lives on the East Coast and I live in Las Vegas. And so practically speaking, it's much easier for me to appear here. Okay, thank you for having me. Ryan McKnight is my name. And like I said, I'm the executive director of the Truth and Transparency Foundation. And we are a nonprofit media company. And one of the assets that we operate is Mormon Leaks, which is a website, mormonleaks.io. And I don't really want to get into necessarily the details of what that is unless you have specific questions, but just as a general information, we publish documents that are either not accessible to the public or difficult to be accessed by the public that we feel have a public interest. Okay, that's the watered down explanation of what we do. A lot of the basic facts of this case were already laid out by the representative from KUTV. This is revolving around the same tape that is that exists of the interview between BYU police and Joseph Bishop in regards to McKenna Denson's accusation of rape. A couple of things that I would like to add to the discussion is that before we, so Mormon Leaks is the entity that originally released the tape of McKenna Denson talking to Joseph Bishop, which started this mess. And prior to us releasing that tape, we actually have had a copy of this police report. Now, this police report was produced by the BYU police before they knew about any kind of pending media coverage. And I think that may have influenced the way they redacted that report. There were redactions in the report. However, after the media coverage, when KUTV, we did not release this report to the public, let me say. So the public didn't know that we had this report. And KUTV independently requested a copy and originally received a report that was essentially completely redacted. They complained and they later received a less redacted but still heavily redacted report. And that report revealed a statement that Joseph Bishop supposedly made to the police officer that, among many other statements, that he had asked McKenna Denson to show him her breasts. Now, the interesting thing is that in the report that we had obtained prior to the release of the tape, that portion of the report was redacted. And so we were unaware that Joseph Bishop had made that admission. Another interesting point is something that was redacted in the KUTV report that they obtained was not redacted in ours. So what ultimately happened was is there was a puzzle. And we could take the KUTV report and our report and get almost a full picture of the police report. There was still a few redactions. One of the key points that was in our report that was unredacted but redacted in the KUTV report was a statement by one of the police officers, and I don't know if you guys have the report or not. I believe we sent it in, but it's on page 7 of 9. And again, this was redacted in the KUTV version, but in ours, it basically says, you know, about halfway through the page, that they recorded their interview with Joseph Bishop and that there is a recording on file. I shared this with my contact at KUTV, and then we also published, at that point, we published this version of the police report, so the public now knew about it, which prompted all of these new grammar requests for this tape from KUTV, from us, and from, I guess, this gentleman who was after us. I don't know his name. I actually don't know that person. So that's just a little bit of the backstory on, you know, how this tape, the knowledge of this tape came about, okay? when we filed our request, the BYU police came back at us, similar to with KUTV, claiming that not only are they not subject to grandma, but also even if they were, this particular tape releasing it would violate people's privacy, and for that reason, setting grandma aside, they wouldn't release it. So there's kind of two points that they gave. And for us, you know, we were looking at it as far as from the grandma perspective. You know, there is a statement on BYU's website that is actually attributed to their chief, where he says that they are a state certified agency. I don't remember the exact verbiage that he uses, but they obviously have the state of Utah's blessing as far as being a police department. They have the ability to arrest people. They have the ability, if necessary, to shoot and kill people if justified or whatnot. They have access to people's criminal records through this certification. And they have access to many other police functions based on this state certification that they have. And because of that, you know, there needs to be the ability for the public to hold them accountable when necessary. And I think, you know, that comes into play as far as, I know you guys are probably not going to make a decision on this today because of the court case, but as far as, you know, why they should be subject to grandma, you know, they can't eat their cake and have it too on this, which, you know, I don't want to belabor that point. On the claims that it would violate the privacy, as KUTV said, and as some of you said in the previous discussion, this case has had already a ton of media coverage. And unless the police officer who wrote the summary in the police report of their interview, unless he was inaccurate or incomplete in his summary, the tape shouldn't be revealing any new information. And therefore, I don't really think the claim of violating the privacy would come into play. Now, in the event that there are tangent conversations in this tape where, you know, things are said that don't have anything necessarily directly to do with this case, we feel like it would be appropriate for the police department to redact those things. Just as an example, from a practical standpoint, the tape that we released between McKenna Denson and Joseph Bishop, throughout the tape, Joseph Bishop actually spoke about various family members of his and shared details with McKenna Denson that had those things been brought to the public, I believe they would have brought a lot of embarrassment to these family members. And we made an editorial decision to redact those portions from the tape and the transcript because they had nothing to do directly with his relationship with McKenna Denson. And similarly, we would be, of course, okay with BYU if he were to mention these same things or similar things that are about his family that could be embarrassing to them. We would be okay with those kinds of, that kind of privacy not being violated. So we believe that they could release this tape and still maintain that needed level of privacy should it exist. And just to sort of wrap this up, because they operate with the blessing of the state as a police department, even though they, from my understanding, my research, they don't receive any government funding, is my understanding, but they do have the state's blessing to act as police officers. As I said before, there needs to be a mechanism to hold them accountable, grandma being one of them. And in this specific case, the fact that they released three different police reports with three different sets of redactions, while that might not be evidence of wrongdoing, I do think it rises to the level of more scrutiny being needed. And I have no idea what's on this tape. It's possible that there's absolutely nothing newsworthy or nothing to add to the discussion, but we don't know. And I think their actions have been deceptive in nature. And because of that, requesting this tape is not so much necessarily about the scandalous nature of the subject, but a way of holding them accountable for them being able to do their job and what's the best, you know, public's interest. And just to close, you know, I realize, you know, what Mr. Tonk said to begin this whole thing about this pending lawsuit, and I'm not going to argue the soundness of his advice, but I would just want to say that it was just advice, right? So I would, even though I know I'm going to get denied, I would plead that, you know, that you not only find in our favor as you did with KUTV, but I do think that there's nothing stopping you from saying that they need to release this tape no matter what the result of the lawsuit is. Now, maybe that's not the strongest legal argument, but again, I'm going to make it because I feel like I have a duty to at least make that plea. But if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them, but that's basically, you know, our position.
Do you have an additional closing statement, or did you kind of wrap it all together?
I think that's everything I have to say, unless there's questions.
You mentioned there are three different versions.
Sure.
I apologize. Who was the third version?
So the third version would be the first report that KUTV got, which was almost entirely redacted. And if you go back and look at the original news report that they did, the reporter actually shows the camera the and it's like completely black. I mean, there was like a few words here and there that were unredacted. So that would be the third.
What was the time frame between those three different
ones
being issued, if you know?
So ours was obtained. I don't really want to get into the details of when and how we obtained ours, but it was before the McKenna-Denson tape was released to the public. Okay, so let's say we released that in March. So that was obtained before March. The KUTV fully redacted report was obtained a couple of days after we released the tape and reporting, there was ongoing reporting. And then I believe when they threatened to appeal, I believe to this board, they told the BYU police we're gonna appeal. They kind of, in order to sort of maybe avoid that, realized that they probably overdid it. And they, I believe it was the same day or the next day, issued the second report. That, and KUTV can correct that if I'm wrong, but it was within 24 hours or so that they received the less redacted report that was, again, not to belabor the point, still a different set of redactions than ours.
That is correct. I'll just confirm the time frame. And just for clarification, only because of the way it's verbalized here, you're appealing the denial of redacted police incident report as well as the recording, or is that
considered? Our appeal is their denial to give us the recording.
The recording.
I mean, you know, sure, if we would love for a fully unredacted report, but that's, I think we have enough of the report unredacted to give us a decent picture of the police report. I think at this point, what we would like to do, and I think probably the other petitioners would have a similar stance, is we would just like to hear the tape and see if it is consistent with what the police officer summarized.
I don't see a difference between this one and the last one. That's good. But I don't remember exactly what was. Remember, I'm not sure how the last motion read.
The last motion read that the records were not properly classified under 63G2 302 2D, and the records should be made public subject to the decision of the district court.
Can I do another motion?
I think my only potential addition would be to your point that if there's additional conversations that are ancillary to this particular incident, that they could be back out. They could be back out.
Mm-hmm.
Suggest that they can be.
Yeah, we wouldn't argue that point. I don't know about the other petitioners, but.
Right, so because we don't know what's on it either, right? Just to say if there's additional, and I don't want to open the door very wide, but if it's unrelated to.
And this redacting would be done prior to release by BYU.
BYU. And I know that this is a common practice for other police departments who have done things like this. It is common for them to redact unrelated portions of interviews that are not about the specific investigation. Because, you know, when you're interviewing somebody, there's tangents and, you know, all this kind of stuff. So.
And so long as my motion to include that. Does the second still stand?
Yeah. Sure. Okay. Any further discussion?
Aye.
Any opposed? No.
Thank you for your time. Okay. Thank you.